welcome to part two. This is part two of the Grey's Academy podcast episode for the Grey's Anatomy show episode, Hope for the Hopeless. Make sure you've listened to part one. We will be here when you are ready. But we are going to start part two by inviting you to visit our website, graysacademypod.com. And you can find links to our merchandise. You can find links to our Patreon. You can find links to everywhere you can listen and or leave reviews. You can also email graysacademypod@gmail.com if you have any thoughts or feelings about the show. I will read them and probably respond in 2 to 3 business days. Also, I apologize. I know I sound out of breath. There is a baby kicking me in the lungs. So I am just sitting. I am doing no work, but I can barely breathe. So it's going to be like this for about 3 more months. So please bear with me. I'm doing my best. So we are going to start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
And this is a good one, guys. We're getting back to it. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 friends in Shondaland.
All right. Both the sisters.
No. Wait, yes, one. Sorry. I just lied. Oh. It was both sisters.
Okay, I was like, what? My second guess was going to be one of the sisters. One of the sisters. All right, so that's two. The kid's mom.
Yes.
And the girl Alex boned.
No.
Is it the kid?
No.
Okay, I can do this. I can do this. Shabooty do this. Look at my notes here. So, is it the guy with the impaled heart?
No.
Is it the wife of the guy with the impaled? Okay.
Yes. Okay. So Cheryl White plays Lynn, which is the mom to Wes, the kid with the tumor on his spine. And she is in one episode of Private Practice. And then Nia Vardalos, who played Karen, who received the liver from the sister, was in one episode of Station 19 as a different person. Perry Gilpin, who played Marcy, the sister who sucked the most. She was in one episode of Station 19, a different episode. And then Stacy Greenwell played Mrs. Vanderberg, so the wife of the guy from the accident. And she was in one episode of Station 19, one episode of How to Get Away with Murder, and one episode of Scandal.
Right.
And let Speaking. Me just say, sorry.
That yawn, I need to edit it out.
You should. I wish
you
would.
I'm not going to. You couldn't pay me enough. Well, yeah, you could pay me enough money.
I probably could.
The problem is you couldn't give me enough time before the episode comes out.
That's the issue, is that we're recording this. First of all, we're recording this a day after it should have already come out. And at
you
night.
Know that's right.
So he would have to sit here and for 2 more hours into the night and record it and listen to it to edit it back.
Nope.
We want it to. All right, we're working towards it. We appreciate all the support we already have.
It's true. We're on the precipice of being able to afford this.
Yeah, we're not far off. It's a goal. We'll say it's a 2025 goal.
Just so you guys all know, too, for all of you incredible, beautiful people who are part of the Patreon journey, all of our sponsors that pay us for their regional sponsorships, all the ad money we get. Guys, Kelsey and I don't take any of it.
Yes. Like,
literally, we don't take a salary.
Of this business, we only put it back into the podcast. One day, we would love to be able to take a salary from it. Again, goals, hopes, dreams. But right now, we just use the money that we get from you guys or from our ad support and all that stuff to continue to help grow and improve the podcast. So if you're curious as to where the hell that money goes, that is where it goes. So we've bought better equipment, better microphones, cameras, interfaces, things like that. And then we used it obviously to buy the rebrand for the digital art and the photography and the video that we were able to make, and then the website. So things like that. That's where it goes. But one day, hopefully, we'll have enough to also give it to an editor.
Yeah. You know, on Shark Tank, when the pitchers come in and they're like, "Sharks, let me tell you about my product." And it ends with, "So how much money have you made?" "Well, we've lost money, but I've collected a salary this whole time." And we're like, "Whoa, okay." Those are the people that I hate. We're not those people.
Yeah. One day we would love to be taking a salary from it. But right now, we just use it to get to that point.
Yes.
Also, I was going to say this. If you are looking for like a drama show, a drama action show, I've been watching Night Agent. They just released the second season today on Netflix. And it has reminiscent, like it kind of gives some Scandal vibes in that there's like government espionage, stuff like that. But it's good. It's enjoyable. I'm liking it. I'm on the second season now, but I do fear that the second season will end with a cliffhanger and then I will have to wait until goodness knows for the third season.
Yeah, that's the worst part about what binge watching has created for our day and age is like having to wait for things now.
Yeah.
Also, well, I mean, spoiler alert
there are
for
some shows on streaming that they drop on a weekly basis. And I'm like, this is not why I pay for streaming.
Right.
give me all of it right now.
Yeah. Speaking of streaming and binge watching, skip ahead for a quick private practice spoiler as well. 30 seconds. I'm going to give you a 3 and a 2 and a 1. Just saw the episode where Quinn makes an appearance.
Oh, yeah. Good yeah. times.
That episode sucked. Sad.
Not a fan.
I'm just not a fan of this. There's so many storylines that involve dead kids. I'm just like, yeah,
it really does suck.
It's a lot. It's very heavy. Speaking of dead kids, should we talk about a kid who's gonna die?
Ugh. Yeah. Wes.
And going to die with no resolution. We don't know what's gonna, like, we don't see this kid die. We just know.
The whole time this episode was happening, I was like, I feel like I remember him, like, them not being able to save him. But then I was like, no, that's not what happens. Certainly they'll save him. And then it ended. And I was like, no, my memory was correct. They didn't.
And this is the kid.
Didn't die on the table, which is good. No. She does get the final assumed 3 months with him. But it is a big fat bummer. So this kid is, the mother has flown out to see Derek. She said it's the 9th surgeon that she's taken her son to see. He has a tumor on his spine that is potentially going to kill him, as they said, within 3 months. And no one else will do anything about it. Derek's like, this surgery is a 5% success rate. But of course, the drama twist is, oh, I've never told him he has this tumor. He just thinks his back hurts. He just thinks his back hurts. And that's why I take him to every doctor all over the country.
Yeah, for a backache. Give the kid some ibuprofen, please.
Yeah, and won't so work. I don't love that choice as a parent. I'm very lucky to not have to be in the situation, obviously. But I don't know. That's a lot. You're already dealing with a lot as a parent, so then you just have to like keep up the facade and the lie, and then you right. risk what happens, which is he overheard another doctor talking about it, and that's how he found out what the truth was.
Also, imagine being that kid. Imagine being a kid right now. You're gonna go and ask your mom or dad, in this case just mom, what's wrong.
Yeah,
like I remember overhearing a conversation with Blockbuster that my mom answered around Christmas, and I immediately went upstairs and was like, so are you Santa? Like, is this what we're dealing with? I would not hold on to that secret ever. I would be like, mom, do I have a cancer tumor? Am I dying? Can you please tell me? So that's the drama reveal.
Yeah.
That's intense.
Well, the first drama reveal is, oh, I've never told him. And the second drama reveal is, oh, I already know.
Right. That's right.
So Yeah, he also, this poor woman, because her husband died when this child was two. And so she's single parenting this sick child. And, you know, really fighting for him. But I can't imagine.
I also have a hard time with these kind of storylines, because I think to myself, what would the worst thing be? If this kid... She's given him clearly a great life. They talk about battlefields. They do a lot of traveling. He's big history.
Homeschools.
Yeah. They have a lot of time together. With a kid dying, it's never enough time. Like, I want to put that asterisk on there. There's no amount of time that would ever be enough. But I'm thinking to myself, okay, what's the difference between 3 months of agonizing pain versus if this kid dies on the table, he doesn't feel any pain. He goes out with anesthesia. He's dead. Like, I guess I have a hard time with some of those things, because when you die on the operating table, you're not feeling the pain.
Yeah. I mean, and I definitely think there are conversations in Grey's and other medical shows about quality of life and doctor assisted suicide and just deciding like when it's time to call in hospice and things like that. I think shows are getting more. There is more representation about that. I've also learned as an adult and like having family members become ill and pass away that like hospice isn't really just for if you're knocking on death's door. Like hospice does a lot for a wide variety of people. Like they can do, obviously it varies like from hospice care to hospice care, but they can do like a lot of it's not just call hospice and I'll die within a month. Like people can be in hospice care for years. It's just about like palliative care, pain management, a care, you know, like you don't want to be spend your life living in a hospital, but you need care. It's just like a different option that people have. But I think it's so associated with like, they're dying tomorrow, call in hospice. But there is a lot more to it. And obviously you never like want to see a parent lose a child. Like that's just not the natural order of things.
Yeah. It sucks.
Yeah.
I only know of one person in my life personally who has lost a fully functioning living child. And I do not dream. Even the adjacent sadness is too much for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, Wes has,
three months
to live, allegedly, from this tumor. This is also, Derek is on his, if you'll recall from previous episodes, what is it? Lost causes?
Yes.
Or like yes. Cases. so Derek and Lexi are still working together.
Which I like them together, actually. Yeah,
I think that they work well together now that he's done being a huge turd.
It's also nice to see him working with someone that he's not also boning.
Yes. And so he does like, he's like, oh, let's flip a coin. And she's like, you're insane. And he is, no, I just like know for sure when it's in the air what I want it to be. So it doesn't actually matter what it is, which is an interesting gut check scenario situation, I guess.
It's fine. It's like when people say, go ahead and pick. And then when you pick for them, they're like, okay, how did that feel immediately? Were you disappointed or were you happy?
Yeah.
You get a little bit of a gut check with that, which I kind of like the idea of that.
Yeah. So they're going to do it, obviously. They do this surgery and well, they go into the surgery and they're like talking through, let's, you know, cause very often in Grey's they reiterate like, oh, it'll, even if we do a scan today, it'll look different when we get in there. Like the scans can only show so much. And so they get in there and they're just like, everything we're going to do is going to kill him. It's not even like when they were doing the tumor with Isaac and it was like, you can paralyze me because at least I'll be alive. Like that's still, he was going to die. Like there was, that wasn't an option for this case. Cause I think they would have chosen that. he was just going to die or be paralyzed and still die in 3 months. So there was no long-term solve whatsoever. So they just had to close him up. Lexi, it did not take it well, which is not surprising. I think it really goes with her character. She was really like, she just connects a lot to patients. She's great with patients, but she just, I will say, she doesn't inappropriately connect with patients a la Izzy, but she's great. Like, she really can form those connections. And like, she really bonds with Wes when he like tells her that he knows about the tumor, and she promises him they're going to try. And then she feels like she let him down because they don't. But I don't think that they aren't trying, because they still go in and like analyze every possible outcome.
Yeah. Also, on the topic of Izzy, you know, one thing that I will never be able to visualize Lexi doing is saving a deer in the back of a flatbed truck.
Oh my God.
I still just think about that and get so mad. Like, Katherine Heigl, you were so amazing. Why was your character on this show such a derp? Same with George, although I don't know about that guy, anything he's done in life outside of Grey.
Yeah.
And I can't IMDb him because I'll probably ruin something.
So, yeah, I like Lexi. It's so funny, like, remembering how much I really hated her when I watched this the first time. And now watching it, I'm like, why? Why did I hate her?
It's because
not like
she
I ever loved Meredith. And so I wasn't like, oh, I hate her on behalf of Meredith. Ugh. I don't know. It's interesting. But yeah,
It would make sense if that was your reason. If it was she's ruining Meredith's life, so I need to hate her.
Yeah, out of principle. But Meredith likes her now, so that wouldn't even matter either. So.
Yeah, but sometimes those initial perceptions are hard to overcome.
That's so true. But yeah, I like Lexi working with Derek a lot. I think it's a good match. I do think that he teaches well in this episode and handles her not doing okay very well, because he just has her leave the OR when she like can't take no for an answer. And then he also still talks to her about it later, and he's like, it's not always like it sucks. And she's like, I don't need them all to be great, I just need them to not be like this. Because then, you know, they Wes wakes up and they don't tell him because they're just lying. Well, Lexi wants to tell him. Derek's like, that's not our place, because he's a minor. And so the mom is like sobbing. It's very sad.
Well, let me just tell you too, the scene where she's saying like to him, it'll all be all right before the surgery.
Yeah.
Fast forward. Sorry, guys. This is rife with private practice stuff. I am so sorry. But for all of you Patreon patrons, this is just a taste of when Kelsey and I eventually get back to doing our private practice episodes. So skip it. Skip it. Skip it. Skip. So this was, I watched this episode on the heels of Dell's situation where he says goodbye to Betsy.
Yeah.
And I'm like sitting there and I'm, first off, watching that, fully crying, fully in tears.
On the train?
This one I watched at home.
Oh, okay.
Luckily. I didn't fucking know though. Could have been anywhere.
Couldn't have warned ya.
Could have been at work. Could have been in a break room, just sitting there crying like a little baby boy. But luckily I was at home watching that, very emotional. So, but this was on the heels of that. So when the mom's telling him like, you're going to be okay, I'm sitting there getting emotional. And I'm like, this is a goodbye conversation is what it felt like. I'm not editing that out, by the way. So, so I thought in that scene he was going to die on the operating table.
Yeah.
And he didn't. Obviously he comes back to life from the anesthesia, but yeah, I thought that in that moment they're like, "Oh, we're going to kill this kid on the operating table."
Yeah, I like truly, again, I could not remember. I was like, "Are they going to kill him? No, he lives. No, they save him. No." And then I was like, "Oh, This is sad. And so he immediately figures it out because she's like, oh, we can go to Hawaii like tomorrow. And he says, oh, you said if you fixed it, then I would be here for a while. And Derek's like, yes, I did say that. And so that's when he's like, I know. Oh, but when he says, don't worry about me, I'll be in heaven with Dad, I was like, is this a fucking joke? Like, this is,
yeah, this is so emotional sad.
Torture. Like, this is disrespectful on the writers.
This whole show is disrespectful by the writers. What do you mean? How many so more true. Things we they killed? They killed Reed for no reason other than entertainment and shock and awe.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like her.
Well,
I don't know if that's why they killed her, but I think it kind of part of may have been a part of it.
And poor Charles to this day.
I know, right? Poor Mandy Moore.
Seriously.
But yeah, so then he figures it out and he's like, it's okay. Well, you'll be okay. It's always sad. Like, that's the thing is, I'm like, it's harder for the person who lives, especially if it's a parent. Like,
yeah,
that's just the reality. So that's a bummer. But yeah, Derek does a good job at kind of like talking to Lexi about it and being like, it's okay to like feel upset, but you know, sometimes it won't suck. So
yeah, I like two things about this storyline. Number one, they really do a good job of kind of explaining how intense the tumor actually is, because at one point mm-hmm. they're like, one doctor referred to it as dismantling a bomb.
Yeah,
so that sounds intense. So but the other thing is at the party, when we fast forward to that part, Derek's like, you can tap out anytime you want. And Lexi's like, no, dude, like, I'm in.
Yeah.
But I like that Derek kind of brings it back of they're not all going to be lost causes. Like, we yeah. will find someone to save. Also, remember when they were doing when Derek was doing the trial
with Meredith.
And, yeah.
and everybody they were just died except one person.
Yeah. Like, they were just committing murder daily, right? So
yeah.
At least here, he's able to control more things and save people when he can. So,
do you remember the one lady that they were like, you dreamt that you have a boyfriend? And then she died thinking that she made up a boyfriend. But then he showed up and he was real.
I don't remember her dying thinking that she dreamt a boyfriend.
Yeah, they
but
like
I remember the boyfriend showing that, up.
Yeah, they like convinced her that he wasn't real and the tumor had like made her make him up, and then she died on the table.
I remember that scenario. Wow.
It was that's fucking messed brutal. Up. Like, it was that's so messed real. Up. Like, that's fucked.
Again, these writers know how to screw with us. They're really messing with everything.
It's so true.
So
do you have anything else on the Wes and his mom storyline?
I don't think that I do, other than just, yeah, sad. But you know me, anything that involves kids, I'm like just a sucker for. So, no, nothing else with Wes Mantooth.
Okay. Let's get into the worst part, or what will eventually be the worst part. Teddy, Christina, Owen are in a weird place right now because Teddy's husband died and she's upset, and that's her right. Christina is no longer having to recite the death monologue.
Thank God.
Yeah, she is basically just doing whatever Teddy wants. And like, that's, she's like, this is how I'm going to help her cope, which honestly is fair in my opinion. To an extent, we'll get into it.
Yeah, yeah.
But her being like later on when she says, you made me operate on her husband and he died, she gets whatever she wants for me forever. Like, I kind of understand that.
I also didn't really see a lot of fault in that.
Yeah.
I don't think neither Teddy or Christina are being responsible, not only with their health or like the blatant disregard for authority and insubordination, right? Like, those aren't good things. But yeah. I do, if I was Christina, I would feel that exact same way. Like, I have I get no leg to stand on forever. I know that it's not my fault, but at the end of the day, this person died on my operating table. I'm at fault somehow.
Yeah. I'm involved.
Involved.
I'm directly involved. So Teddy and Christina are on good terms. Christina's like being there for her, supporting her, like working with her. And Teddy will not speak to Owen. She's still mad at him. Reasonable, in my opinion, because I also think that he made a bad call. And I mean, Christina makes a good point at the end when they're arguing. She's like, it was an impossible call, but you were the one who made it. So like,
exactly,
that it is what it is. Like, you're the chief and it was your job to make that call, and you'd made that call. And these are the results. Like, there are consequences, and this is them.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to take into context everything about these three people specifically, because obviously Owen is married to Christina, but then you have to remember that Teddy and Owen had that weird, like, will they, won't they, how long, like, do they love each other, are they in love with each other, like, while he's dating Christina.
Yeah, I don't know while what, he's with want. Christina.
Like, there's a lot of like layers and context to these relationships. This is not just like, oh, this is my boss and that's the end of the story. Obviously, I think those layers add on to the way they act and why they kind of feel, I guess, I don't know how to put it, like, I guess they feel like it's okay to do. I mean, they know that it's wrong, but they're also like, what's he gonna do? Not be married to me anymore? Blah, blah, blah. So I don't know.
Right. And also, like, Teddy and Hunt were in actual war together.
Yeah.
They also have a very unique bond. Yeah. So it's just different. It's weird. It's a little icky watching it. A little uncomfortable, because I also just can't ever imagine blatantly disregarding authority directives like that. Even in the jobs that I've been in the past where I've hated my boss, hated. I didn't do the opposite of what they said, or like blatantly disregard what they said.
Yeah.
And this is like, and also they're at that, at what point did he say, is like, you guys have been up for how many hours straight? Like
48 hours or something.
That's just at that point, you're not even a human. You're just a zombie person walking around.
Yeah. It does feel unsafe for the patients.
Reckless.
Also, the nurses bring Teddy a widow casserole, or bring her food, and Christina refers to it as widow casserole, and that's very funny to me. And I do think it's, I don't know that it's like everywhere. I know it's very Southern that when people die, you bring them like large amounts of food. I do think it's kind of like the norm most places.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's always been so funny to me, because like, I've been very lucky in that I haven't dealt with a lot of loss in life, but when I've had close friends who have, because I like don't really know what to do, I'm always like, my instinct is always to be like, I'm going to make some brownies and then I'll figure something else out. But we're going to start with the brownies. The brownies are the foundation of the healing that I'm going to be bringing somehow.
I want you to know that if ever there's grief in the Magnolo household, bring me that tray of corner brownies.
I'll mail it right on up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I
wait, what? No, I didn't say mail me. Come over here and make me brownies.
Oh, okay.
Because we'll togetherness, togetherness.
Yeah, that's true. We do like the togetherness.
Indeed.
Okay. So they have the widow casserole and
it gets Owen looped into the
Teddy
party.
Runs away. She's like, I'm not speaking to Owen. Here's the thing. Because we know last week it was 2 weeks since Henry died, we're going to assume, I would assume maybe we're at 3 weeks now. Maybe it's 2 weeks and one day. I don't fucking know. I'm going to assume it's like between 2 and 3 weeks since Henry died. I think the issue that kind of with Owen and Teddy specifically, like, I'm not going to get into Owen and Christina because their relationship is already a fucking shit show. Clearly. You and I have both been pretty adamant that they shouldn't be together for a while now. I do think that she sometimes takes advantage of the fact that he's the chief. And I do think she's kind of doing that now. Again, this specific scenario is so nuanced and like she's kind of trapped because she's like, I have to do whatever Teddy wants because I feel responsible. Even though Teddy has essentially been like, absolved her of guilt. But I think because Owen has the history of friendship with Teddy and he also feels guilty because of what happened with Henry, I am assuming, again, this is my assumption because they haven't really shown this to us outright, that he was giving Teddy space to do whatever she wanted leading up to this. So then it's like, well, where do you stop it? If you've already started letting her treat you and treat you however she wants and do whatever she wants, at what point then can you put your foot down and like reestablish this dynamic? Because it's already gotten too far and you've already muddied the waters on like what's okay.
Yep.
Especially in like a time of grief. So I'm not going to like fully say Teddy's blameless and I'm not going to fully like blame it on Owen. I just think there's a lot to it. And I think that because he is looking at it like this is my friend and I don't want to like push her too far to a point where I'm no longer going to have her as a friend. Because he does try and like ask Christina what to do. And she's like, it's not like you talk to her, like stop putting me in the middle. Because he's already done that. Like he's already put her in the middle in the worst possible way when he made her operate on Henry. So yeah. I don't know. I think it's just kind of like, I think there had to be some kind of buildup. I don't think Teddy was being respectful and then woke up one day and was like, and now I'll say fuck you. Like, I think it kind of amped up to getting as bad as it gets in this. And I will say, like, I don't think I understand that Owen gets mad at them in a professional setting. end of sentence. I don't think him being mad at the two of them in the professional setting is in any way relatable or excusable to what escalates and eventually happens at the end of the episode.
No.
Because fuck that bullshit. Like, I understand when you're fighting with someone or you're like trying to be mad at someone and you like they laugh at you, it is one of the most infuriating things that can happen. And it does make me want to like rip a person's skull from their body. But that does not excuse the argument that occurs at the party, which is also the worst place they could have this conversation.
So I have a couple thoughts on that. I do want to take a quick moment and let our regional sponsors talk to people one-to-one in a very intimate setting, not broadcast over the podcast radio, but we'll be right back. And welcome back. Hopefully that felt very intimate for all of you. So there is this term in management called you promote what you permit. And when you think about, to your point of, Owen's been giving some leash, giving some leeway, letting her kind of heal, but also kind of do like free reign for whatever, for God knows how long in Gray's time.
Right.
You're right. Like, at what point has the monster become so big that you need to just like you need to stomp it out? But then at that point, you're just looking like the asshole. You're looking like the guy who's a jerk, which he does. But I don't know that the laughter specifically in the OR is what triggered Hunt. I don't think that Hunt ever really got over the stupid thing that they went through. The abortion piece. Sorry, stupid. That's not stupid. He's never gotten over that part.
But I also don't feel stupid that he's never moved on. Get over it.
Exactly. That's what I mean by that's what's stupid. He's never made any effort. He's probably never talked to a therapist.
Oh, well, he did talk to a therapist prior to that. like before him and Christina were like fully together.
Yeah, but he didn't talk to a therapist.
I would love for him to go back.
Yeah, post abortion. But yeah, it's, listen, guys, I have gotten into arguments with Jessica in public. Not public, but like in front of people, like in our own house or in small settings. I have never once at a child's 1-year-old birthday party gone to the kitchen and thought, this is the conversation that we're going to have and we're going to yell.
This is the time to raise our voices. I will say I've seen Jessica and Carmen have many fights and they've seen Michael and I have many fights. It is what it is. I am very much, and I think Carmen and Jessica are the same way, where it's like, I don't need to wait to have a conversation. I can have it right now.
Right.
I don't care like where, I'm in Publix. I actually don't care. I will get everyone in Publix on my side. I'm not going to yell like in public, but I will not sit on something and seethe, because that's going to make it worse later.
Yeah.
For everyone involved.
I think the worst public arguments that Jessica and I have had were arguments that took place in our own home that just happened to have friends over at the time. Or like, what, poor Gabe, when Gabe lived with us during COVID.
I think all the time when he's like, I can't.
And we don't argue that often, but he also lived with us at the period where we're like going through the first financial journey of our young married life. And he saw lots. He saw it all.
Shut up. Okay. So essentially all this stuff happens at the hospital. They steal a case. Like, Owen fully kicks them off a case and is like, you guys need to leave. Go home, get sleep. You've been up for too long. There's another doctor and Alex are going to take this case. Christina manipulates the wife of the patient to like request Teddy do the surgery. And she
is such a silly snake in that scene.
She's the worst.
Oh, I just assumed that a case of this nature would be handled by the head of the department.
So she's a sneaky sneak. And then lies to Owen blatantly to his face because he sees her and he's like, why are you still here? And she goes, oh, I'm going to watch Derek do brain surgery. And he goes, you should be asleep. And she goes, well, that's basically the same thing. It's a lot like sleeping. And so lies directly to his face, goes, and then Owen sees Alex eating the giant cake from the canceled party and is like, why aren't you in that surgery? And he's like, Teddy took it. Owen's mad, goes, approach. I will say, I think he should have just gone to the surgery and said, I need to speak with both of you as soon as the surgery's over. Like, you don't have to try and have the conversation there. This is obviously like, there's a person on the table that is a big deal. It is a complicated case that's been established. So I do think the appropriate decision would have just been like, as soon as you are finished in the surgery, come and find me immediately. He tries to escalate it and they're like, can we do this when we're not trying to save someone's life? And then he leaves and he hears them like laughing at him. It's like, oh, did you see him get so serious? I have a hard time not, blah, 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 whatever.
Oh, the vein. It sticks out on his forehead.
Yeah.
Also, so, can we just talk really quick? I don't understand the going into a surgery and just holding the mask up to your face thing. Could you just fully put it on? I don't get it. I have a hard time with that. Like, what is that accomplishing?
It's just still catching the particles from your mouth.
But what about all the side shooting?
This is pre-COVID.
Oh, so side. It didn't
happen.
Also,
he's further away. He's not standing over the patient. He's just trying to maintain the sterile environment.
Speaking of, if Jess ever does get pregnant again, if we're blessed with another child, do you think that I should ask to see inside the C-section this time around? Because now I've been in surgeries. I've like seen things.
You've been in surgeries? Have you seen the animal surgeries?
Yeah, like all the time.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know. Oh, every time we do a surgery.
What's the craziest one you've seen?
So the other day, one of the doctors.
Mostly like pulling toys out of dogs that have eaten toys they shouldn't have eaten.
Most of the surgeries are foreign body surgeries. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. We had this gigantic Bernese Mountain Dog that came in the other day, ate two whole leather gloves and a wooden Thomas the Train toy, and they got it to vomit it up.
Wow.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Because if not, they would have needed to go into surgery. Which also, I'm learning a lot about medicine being like around it all the time. And I ask a lot of questions. Like, I see a lot of ultrasounds that get done on the floor. Like, I see a lot of cool stuff. But if an object makes it past the stomach and it goes into, basically into one of the intestines or like through to where the duodenum would get it towards the colon.
Right.
If it gets that far, and then it gets lodged, it creates these micro tears. So even if they successfully get the item out, an animal or a person who has an issue like this, they can go septic.
Still become septic, yeah.
Yeah. So that's crazy to me. So anyways, learning a lot of stuff. But we were doing a surgery for a foreign body, and the doctor was like, having to go through and like really fine filter by hand the entire tract of the intestines. Mm-hmm. And I go in there and I was like, oh, like, what are you looking at? Oh, wait, no, sorry. This particular surgery, they had to remove the spleen because it had cancer. So as she was like closing up, she's like, do you want to see inside? And she's like, and I'm like, obviously, yes, I want to see inside. Like, that's crazy. She lifts it up, and I could see the entire diaphragm moving all of the lungs and
that's
everything
so
up
cool.
and down. So it was really awesome. I was, like, literally as far as I am from here to, like, my computer, able to see inside of the chest cavity of this dog. It was cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could. You would have to talk to the doctor more than just the moment you're in there, because they're gonna err on the side of no. Because they don't want you to pass out. But if you like establish with the surgeon that you like have some experience of not passing out when you see inside of living things, they might let you do it.
It might be different with my wife. Maybe that's like a boundary that I shouldn't cross, because I can't unsee the inside of my wife.
Yeah,
but I will tell you, the surgeries that I've been in have been super freaking cool.
It's so, my sister and I were talking about this today because my dad works at a hospital. And so she has watched that movie, The Substance, with Demi Moore, which I know you and I have both not watched because it's a horror film. But it's a body horror. So she was like telling me, because I'm saying, like, where I get stuck is I'm like, this film is being like nominated for a lot of awards. People are saying that's like really well done. It's incredible. But I'm like, but I want to see it, but I don't want to watch it. So she's kind of like talking me through like kind of what the gore, like where the gore is and how, because I don't want like a jump scare, right? That's kind of what I would like less. She's like, no, it's body horror. The like the worst part is like they'll show you a lot of like she's like, you watch Grey's Anatomy, you'll probably be fine. And she was like, it's really just bad in the last 30 minutes. So you could just watch up to that and then read like the Wikipedia summary for the rest of it. But she was saying that like my dad watched it when he was down there, and he was like, this is too much. And I'm like, he like goes into the morgue at work.
I draw the line at the morgue. Get out of here.
He's been in surgeries when they're like chopping people's feet off. I don't understand. Like, this is fake. And he's like seen that for real. I don't understand.
Well, and that's the other crazy thing too. Like like, I've watched them put catheters in. I've watched them, like, I've smelled the explosive diarrhea of a parvo animal. I've been around this stuff now. So I know that I've got a pretty strong stomach about those kind of things. Even there was the other day, they were trying to... Or there was this dog that had like years and years of matting that basically it was cutting off circulation to its paw. And it was like basically like almost starting to saw off a limb because of the matting on its leg. So when they shaved the entire animal, and it was like down to the bone, like it had.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So exposed tendon, exposed ligament. Actually, I might have a picture up to see if I can pull it up. But
I don't need to see it.
That's fair. That's
fair.
Thank
you, though.
Good call. mad respect. But like, yeah, like I see those things and I'm like, okay, yeah, like cool. That doesn't bother me. But again, being my wife, it'd be a totally different thing. So yeah. Anyways,
I don't know how we got here, but
I think the moral of that whole story is Owen sucks.
Yes, so that's where we'll get back to. So he goes to the party. Christina's there, like being really cute with Zola, and he's like, "I'm fucking furious." So he goes in the kitchen and pours alcohol, and she goes in and she's like, "I'm sorry, you're mad." And I will say, to his credit, I also feel this way. Like if I say I'm upset and someone says I'm sorry, I'm like, are you sorry that I'm upset, or are you sorry for the thing you did that has made me upset? Because those are different.
And yeah, and he does say that. Are you sorry that I'm mad, or are you sorry that you did the shit that I'm mad about?
Yeah. So he's like, I'm taking you off of Teddy's service. And honestly, like, outside of this scenario, if it was just about them not listening to him when he told them to go home and sleep, this is a fair punishment, and I would be fully on his side.
If it stopped there, right? Yeah, if this whole conversation stopped
with Henry,
right?
But obviously, that's when Christina's like, "You don't understand. Like, you put Henry on my table, and he died. Whatever she wants for the rest of forever, she's gonna get it. Like, that's just it. That's the only thing. Like, and that's still not enough." So then it just keeps escalating. Of course, like while this is happening, they're trying to talk to Richard and they're like, "Oh, do you remember your first surgery?" So everyone gets real quiet so that they can hear his story about his first ever surgery, aka hear Owen and Christina fucking screaming at each other in the kitchen. And Owen does say, he's like, "I could fire you both," which is fair. He could. It's true. I'm going to be honest, like, for the insubordination and the liability they're putting on the hospital,
right,
I feel like it would have been a pretty easy case to fire. But again, there's too much context. There's too much nuance. There's too much history in the situation. Yeah, that's when he's like, "It was an impossible situation." And she's like, "Yeah, it was. But you're the chief. You had to make the call. You made the call. This is what happens." And then he's like, "You don't know anything about consequences. You've never had a consequence." And then Christina's like, "Don't take your guilt out about the situation on me." And he's like, "I don't have anything to be guilty about. You should be guilty. You should feel guilty for being a terrible person. Because you get whatever you want." And she's like, "This isn't about me." And he's like, "It's only about you. You don't ever give me anything." And then she's like, "This was just one surgery." And he's like, "It's not one surgery. You killed our baby." Oh my fucking God. I can't.
Here's what I want to say about this. Number one, shut the fuck up.
If ever there was a time for like a full-on screamo metal cover,
yeah, I just like all of the things that Owen said up until the "you killed our baby," he could have a leg to stand on. Okay, yeah. Christina doesn't really face a lot of consequences. That's what the entire arc of Teddy and her's relationship was. She was so good, so fast, so quick that everyone just said, "Put her in. She's a workhorse. Do the thing." A workhorse has to work. A racehorse has to race, I mean, is what I meant. We get it. We've established that. Mm-hmm. All these things happen, and she's at the center of it because she's really good at what she does. Cool. Could you have fired them? Yes, and then you didn't. You showed mercy. Cool. Don't bring the baby back into it. Also, at a baby's one-year-old birthday party /10,000 surgery for the former chief of surgery.
Slash everybody that you're in charge of.
Yes. It's just not a good... Show some decorum.
Yeah. It's just...
I hate everything about that scene. I hate everything about Owen in that scene. Sucks. Yes. He sucks.
Correct response. I'm glad that you feel that way. I would have loved to have seen your face when he screamed, "You killed our baby." Because I have to imagine you were surprised that he yelled that at her in Meredith's
kitchen.
It doesn't
make any sense. We've seen on screen that they've healed. He went with her to the appointment. Yeah. We've closed.
And if you're not healed, like, yeah, you're not making any effort to heal. You're not talking about it. You're not talking to anyone else about it. It doesn't seem like you're trying to process anything. If you're going to act like you're over it, then be over it. If you're not over it, then don't keep that to yourself and seethe on it and then bring it up when you're talking about something completely irrelevant. If you can't get past it, that's your business and it's time to end the relationship. But this is not, you cannot have a functional, healthy relationship with someone who is going to bring up something every time they're mad at you that you did that you disagree with for the rest of eternity. That is so unhealthy. Especially yeah. something that they seemed to be supportive of at the time.
Right.
I hate him.
Yeah,
I hate
it him sucks. So
much. Before we get into our Discord questions, I am going to shout out the scene of all of them in the like break room together, because that was a cute scene where like April, Jackson, and Alex are talking about like moving out,
yeah,
living together or whatever. And then like Meredith comes in and is like, "I'm gonna steal some widow casserole for the party because I don't have time to go to school to the store." And then Christina's like, "Mysteries of the butt, good stuff." So it was just a fun scene of like everyone kind of interacting together. Also, Jackson, April, and Alex are going to move out and get an apartment together. That's like the only other thing. Oh wait, oh my god, we didn't talk about Mark at all.
I was gonna wait until you finish that. Yeah, because there's a fun storyline that it revolves around Julia saying she loves Mark, Mark not saying it back, and Callie and Arizona walk a very fine line of jerks and really funny this whole
They're
episode.
Funny, but I'm like, if he doesn't love her, he shouldn't say it.
Well, but also he really doesn't communicate his actual feelings until the end, because
he does do a really good job of like being an adult and being like, I don't want to rush it. I've rushed things before. I would like to take this like and just let it be on its own. And they're like, wow, what a grown up.
Yeah. So like, okay, thank you for communicating that. Maybe do that in the moment when they first made fun of you and she left your apartment or your house, whatever it was. So, but it was funny when they keep going back to him a couple of times and they use the word love over yeah. zealously.
I would love some wine.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I wanted to make sure was called out is I made a comment. They took a picture on an old school camera, like selfie style.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just the angle, but that was way too low of a picture angle for that reverse camera selfie. So, and then let's see. I think that's it. I think actually that was everything, all the notes that I had.
Okay. I did end with all caps, "Fuck this man," in relation to Owen Hunt.
Yeah. The last call out about the Alex, Jackson, and April piece is I like that she's like, yeah, I don't want to live with you at all, Alex. Like, you're a garbage person and I want to get away from you. And Alex is like, well, that's fine. Jackson, screw her. We should live together. And Jackson was saying, yeah, but she like cooks and she cleans. And April's like, and I'm your friend.
Also, you like me as a human.
Right. It is funny, and they write it sometimes in moments like that where the April hate is funny, but also, can we just like stop hating on her? Start writing more things where we actively hate Owen. We don't need to hate April too.
That's real.
Yeah.
Be more mean to Owen. People, bully Owen Hunt. Hashtag bully Owen Hunt.
Yeah, hashtag.
Get it trending, guys.
Okay, and the last, quote from Christina. Teddy's boundless trauma is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it. That's all I got.
Good stuff. Okay. Lots of Discord questions this week. Is this the lowest point Owen will ever go in yelling at Christina that she killed their baby in front of their friends and colleagues? Is there any coming back from it for Owen.
Who asked this?
Cat.
Cat. I don't think that this is the lowest point that he will go. But I want you to know that that is the lowest point. That's a lower point that I ever could have imagined Owen going. Yeah. But now that I've seen it, there's a whole Pandora's box out there waiting of what he can do now.
So is there any coming back from this?
No! You don't yell, "You killed our baby," to your wife. They're going to get a divorce.
If you were Richard, what song would you sing that has meaning to you and Jessica?
Freight Trains, Gallery 81.
I knew you were going to say that. And that's not even true. Because you've written songs about her, and that's not one of them.
My wife is a freight train. Let's see.
What was your first dance?
It was I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, but it was
what I thought.
The Caleb Johnson cover of Aerosmith. I don't know. Because I don't even know if I know all of the words to I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, but I don't think I would just sing that to her. I would need to really think about that, because I don't really think that we have a song.
Yeah.
Other than that, but like, I don't know if there's a song that I would just sing to her as like a ballad of some sort.
We actually feel more strongly about the song that I walked down the aisle to that you and Emily sang than we do about our first dance song. I mean, we liked our first dance song, but we feel like when we hear the song that I walked down the aisle to, Perfect.
Yeah.
That's what we were both always like, oh, remember that time we got married?
Remember that time that I headlined your wedding?
Yes. Remember that time you made my wedding about you?
yours okay. And Leah's.
So true. Should Meredith, Derek, or any other doctor intervene when Owen started yelling at Christina?
Should they
have kicked him out before the "you killed our baby" part? Meredith goes to the kitchen when she hears him yelling, and it feels like she would have stopped it, but she kind of gets there right as that occurs.
Here's the thing. Should and could are two different things. Should they have kicked out Owen? Yes. Could they have gotten to it before that point? I don't think so. Because even the way that the scene is kind of made is you hear the yelling
back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah. You only hear the yelling when everyone gets quiet. So maybe if I'm at a party and I hear that escalating, I want you to know I'm not getting involved. I'm not.
If I'm hosting it, if I'm Meredith, I give Zola to Derek and I say, put on some fucking music and make it really loud immediately.
Yeah.
Everybody be really loud right now so that I can go deal with this.
Yeah. If it's my party, that's different. If I'm the one hosting, I think maybe I get involved. But if I'm out at someone else's party, maybe I tell the host, maybe I just listen and start eating my popcorn. I don't know. So... I will tell you genuinely, I was nervous that he was going to physically attack her in that scene.
You are always nervous that he is going to physically attack her.
I saw the man choke her. He was trying to murder her at one point in his sleep.
Yeah. This is from Katya. Should Richard take a step back from surgery at the hospital to spend more time with Adele?
Well, now that he hit 10,000, yes, he should. But it doesn't matter because Adele will be dead before the end of this season. I'm still holding on to that prediction. Adele will die.
Before the end of the season?
Before the end of this season.
Okay. Maddie says, what do you think triggered Owen into bringing this up?
I really don't know.
Brought it to the being on his mind again.
Maybe seeing Christina holding Zola, maybe, but that's not something that you go from 0 to 60 on. So I feel like he's never actually been healed.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it feels he's just been like keeping it in his back pocket. Like, when can I bring this up in a really, really cruel and negative way?
Yeah. Yeah, agreed.
Do you think Teddy or Christina is a good support system for Teddy and that their relationship will stay good?
Yes.
I think yes, but with caveats, because I think I'm like, is there a line? Like, the issue is because Christina also like wants to do all the surgery, she's not ever going to be like, hey, Teddy, maybe you should get some sleep, because Christina's going to be like, hey, let's definitely not sleep so that we can do cool stuff. But there is also like a part that, like, I'm all for, like, she gets whatever she wants because of this scenario, but I'm also like, self-care is good, and Christina's never gonna be one to be like, take care of yourself.
Yeah, I think it's more along the lines of Christina might interject that Teddy's gonna do some sort of treatment that's like extreme, and what I think might happen is Teddy starts to become like an adrenaline junkie in surgery. Not doing a ton. I think to your point, you're correct. Christina's never going to tell Teddy to not do a surgery, but she might want to do an extreme treatment. And Teddy's like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. I don't think that that's the right choice. And she gets peer pressured into doing a situation that she doesn't want to be a part of. And then maybe someone dies. But yes. I don't think that Teddy and Christina's relationship is ever going to be bad, because they've gotten through this. If they can get through this, they can literally get through everything, anything. But I do see a point where Teddy can shift to be a bad influence. Yes.
Well, I think it's just going to get like too much of a good thing, kind of, in a way of like just neither one of them ever like telling the other one to take a break.
Yeah.
Which is dangerous for multiple people. What are your thoughts on Mark not saying I love you to Julia? We talked about that kind of. Do you think Mark still has feelings for Lexi?
Yes. Yes, he does. And they're going to bone and kiss and bone and kiss.
When?
Before the... We're on episode 12. Episode 20. By episode 20, they will kiss.
Okay. Do you think that Christina and Teddy were acting irresponsibly? Yes.
Yes.
Do you think that Teddy is going through the stages of grief and hasn't fully taken the time to heal from her loss? I do not think she's going through the stages of grief. I think she's freezing at wherever she needs to be okay.
I think that she's frozen in acceptance, but it's an unhealthy outlet. I don't think she's in the five stages. I think she's in the acceptance and moving on.
She's in the acceptance of like Henry's dead, but not the acceptance of the surrounding like situation.
Yeah, she's accepted that he's dead, but she's not grieved. The mourning process has not fully happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's not allowing herself to mourn.
Were Teddy and Christina in the wrong for stealing the surgery? Is Owen just being an ass? Owen is not being an ass about the surgery. He is right. They should not do it. They should go to sleep. Owen is being an ass about his relationship with his wife. Owen is not being an ass about this specific surgery.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yes, agreed. He is not wrong about the surgery piece. He's wrong about all the other stuff and baby killing.
How long will Teddy be angry at Owen?
Who cares? Not long enough.
Who cares?
Be mad longer.
Die mad about it. Okay, what is going to happen with Owen and Christina moving forward? You said they got divorced.
They're gonna get a divorce. Yeah, they have to. If they don't, I will be mad and I will stop this TV show.
Do you think Richard knew how bad Adele's condition was getting?
Yes, but also like, that particular disease changes day by day. So like maybe she was, maybe at the, up until this point, she's never ventured out of the house, but.
Well, and they say that she has a night nurse. So there's clearly some level of like proactive care going on.
Yeah, that's right. Good call. Good call.
But he's also like not there a lot during the day. So is there a day nurse? I don't know. Doesn't seem like it, because she was wandering around the neighborhood trying to walk to the hospital. Okay, will Owen fire Teddy?
No. No, he will not.
Okay. Let's make some predictions about other things.
Can we rate it first?
Yes, we can rate it first.
3.4.
Wow.
It's fine.
I would say 3.8 for me.
Yeah, I could maybe go up to 3.5. I could be convinced, but it's fine. It's an okay episode. Like, it sets up the future of Teddy and Owen's relationship, I guess. Owen and Christina's relationship. But, like, it's just fine. It's okay.
Yeah. I just think they do a good job of the portrayal of everything with Adele. I think they do really well. And like the juxtaposition of like how Richard was really happy about his 10,000 surgery. And now it's like, well, but this other thing sucks. Yeah, the ending is infuriating, but really like they do a good job acting wise. But it's it makes you feel fucking livid, which is it's supposed to. So, you know. They're doing a good job with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely setting up things to see moving forward. It's nice to see Derek and Meredith with Zola. So, okay. Let's say anything with Derek and Meredith? They're just bebopping.
Yeah, they're just bebopping along. Zola's great. Zola made it to one. Love it. Very exciting. She was like really touch and go coming from Africa, and now she is just thriving. Love it.
Anything with, see, you said Mark and Lexi. Anything for Callie in Arizona?
Also, nothing for them right now. I don't know why. I'm just nervous that they're going to kill Callie. I still feel like I said this, I think, last episode or two episodes ago. They're just waiting until we really start to love Sophia and love Arizona and Mark and their dynamic. And Callie's just going to get murdered by Shonda.
Shonda's going to come on the show and murder her.
Yeah.
Okay. So... what about who else is on this show? Teddy, you still think Teddy will leave?
I think I'm softening on that. Honestly, what I think might happen is at this point now, Owen and Christina get a divorce, and Owen says, I'm leaving, and Richard becomes chief again.
Okay. I guess make a prediction for Richard and Adele and all of that.
Well, Adele dies and Richard moves on and then marries a woman who's played by Ellis Gray's character but isn't named Ellis.
So played by the woman who plays Ellis.
Yes.
But
yes.
Isn't Ellis.
Yes.
Do they like make jokes about how they look the same or do yes. they just pretend that yes. it's a completely different person?
Yes.
Okay, Alex.
And her son is George.
Okay.
So Richard becomes a stepfather. This is a
very serious prediction. Alex, Jackson, and April.
Jackson and April will bone in their new house.
and then is also
Jackson
there.
And Alex will bone.
So you're not predicting a threesome, just to be clear.
No, I don't think April's ready for it.
Okay. I think that's it. Do you have any other predictions you feel like you need to make?
Yes. I'd also like to predict that Jackson, Alex, and April.
Okay. Oh, anything for Bailey?
No, but I need to see more of her and Ben together. I need to see more of that, right?
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. Well, I think, do you have anything else you need to say about this show?
I love it. Let's keep watching it.
It's great. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for the support. You can visit Grey's Academy Pod to find links to any place on the internet where we exist. You are you okay? What are you doing?
Scratching my back. you know?
Oh my God.
Using
okay,
the pillows to scratch my back.
Please continue to share us on social media. We keep hearing from people who are finding us. And we love that and love how people are finding us. So we really appreciate all the shares and everything. And we love hearing from you guys. So please keep that up. And we really appreciate it. And just remember, if you see Carmen walking down the cold, cold streets,
remember, no spoilies. Take a selfie with me and maybe a hug or a high five, as long as you have hand sanitizer first. But we appreciate you all. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for the reviews. Thank you for supporting us in all ways. We love it. Thank you all. We'll see you in the next one.